Hello, and welcome to episode 157 of SMARTS, which as we all know stands for...
Summer means adventure, recreation, travel, sunshine.
Yes, okay.
You got it.
Very good.
Yay, thank you.
I am Rudiger Koo Podcaster, aka Trevor, and you are...
Julia Guglia of Internet fame, dash podcaster.
Indeed. You ready for some news?
Ready.
So there's not a lot of news. We're in the summer doldrums here. But the big thing in the last week was we got the, I don't know if you say the first details necessarily, but new details, a new announcement, YouTube video, interviews, whatever, about the upcoming DC Universe, to call it a streaming service, it seems like now that we have this new information, sort of selling it short, calling it like an online platform or something might be the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Would repository...
A premium fan experience.
Would a repository do?
A repository sounds sort of...
Like suppository?
Sort of like library-ish and
well,
and
it sort of
dry.
Is, though, isn't it? Oh.
Well, no, because it's got like new shows that you can't get anywhere else. We don't have a firm launch date yet or pricing. What we do know is that it will be an app for iOS, Android, Apple TV, Roku, that will be launching in beta in August. I've signed up for the beta, so I can talk about my impressions when it comes out. Mm. Presumably, they'll send me some sort of code or test flight link or whatever, and I can get the beta that way. I'm not sure how we'll get it on the Apple TV, but we could always just AirPlay it. I'm assuming launching later this fall.
Mm-hmm.
They revised their timetable of original shows somewhat. So it's all the same shows we've known about. Young Justice Season 3, mm-hmm. Titans, Swamp Thing, Doom Patrol, the Harley Quinn cartoon. There's new details on those. Young Justice was expected to be a launch show, but now says 2019. So maybe they're waiting until the whole season is done so that they can either drop it all at once or just put... So here's... Obviously, there's a lot we don't know. We don't know if they're going to do Netflix-style, drop a whole season at once, if they're going to do Hulu-style and put one up a week. Either way, it seems like they're waiting until the whole Young Justice season is done so they can either bring it out regularly once a week without having to take hiatuses, which would be weird for a streaming-only show, or drop it all at once. Either way, it seems like Titans is probably going to be the only launch show because it's been filming in Toronto for a few months at this point, so they by the fall, they'll probably have at least half a season ready mm-hmm. to go. So it's a little too bad. I mean, Titans and Young Justice are probably the two that I'm looking forward to most. Titans, just because I have no idea what to expect, and it's be the first time having a lot of these characters in live action, but Young Justice, just because I really love that show, and I'm excited to see it back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little too bad that we have to wait for Young Justice. But we do have some new details in some of the shows, so we pretty much knew the premise for Titans already. Doom Patrol, same thing. We talked about this before, how the premise mentions that Cyborg becomes aware of some threat and assembles this team and gives them their mission or whatever. Young Justice, the synopsis is pretty much what we expected. So the season will be called Young Justice Outsiders, which we knew. We'd seen the promo art that has classic Outsiders members like Geo-Force and Metamorpho on there. And it mentions a metahuman trafficking ring that's like interplanetary in nature that they have to deal with, which we knew already. The Harley Quinn animated series, we have a bit more information now. It mentions that it seems like it'll be heavily based on the tone and characters of the recent Amanda Conner, Jimmy Palmiotti run.
Mm-hmm.
But it mentions that Harley, you know, she's had it with the Joker. Mm-hmm. She sets it on her own. But her new mission is to get into the Legion of Doom.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to be like doing her darndest to prove herself as like an A-list supervillain, basically.
Yep.
As opposed to the... So it sounds like, you know, comedic misadventures will follow, which is similar to the Conner Palmiotti run. But unlike that, it seems like she's not going to be trying to set herself up as sort of like an anti-hero slash hero for hire as much as she did in that comic.
Yep.
And she's going to be more like staying on the villain side. But I wouldn't be surprised if the arc of the show is she discovers that her heart's not really in it to be a true supervillain mm-hmm. when the Joker's not around. Anyway, we'll have to see. But aside from those original shows, a lot of our suspicions about what else they'll be offering are confirmed. So there will be a back catalog of other DC media. It won't be like a complete library of everything. It'll be a lot of stuff, but not everything. So, for example, there doesn't seem to be any mention of the current CW shows.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that isn't surprising because there's current contracts that exist. Like, I know that Netflix has a deal with with Warner Brothers and the CW right now to put those shows, new seasons of those shows, up on Netflix as soon as they end. So they probably have like the exclusive streaming rights for Arrow and Flash and so on locked down for the next few years or whatever. So it's not surprising that those aren't on this new service. But you get a lot of back catalog stuff. So a lot of the animated movies, a lot of the classic animated shows, some of the newer movies like the, you know, the Christopher Reeve Superman movies are in there, but also it's, I think, Batman Begins will be in there and some of the newer movies, plus a lot of classic animation, the Linda Carter Wonder Woman series, and at least the first chunk of Batman the Animated Series from the 90s will be available in there for the first time in high definition, which I'm excited to see. There will also be, as we suspected, a comics component to this. And details that have come out outside of the announcement video and interviews and stuff have indicated that it won't be sort of a Marvel Unlimited thing where it's DC's entire back catalog minus the last few months worth of current stuff, which they still want you to buy separately. It will not be that. It will instead be more like the Comixology Unlimited thing that we talked about.
Yeah.
Where it'll be like a curated rotating list of titles that they think will appeal to new readers or give. So say that they say
things will phase in and then phase out.
So there's a lot of newer stuff.
That's not exactly fun, is it? Because
But that's not really what it's for. It's meant to be a sampler. So say they add, say like a few months from now, a couple months after the service is launched, they add the John Wesley Shipp Flash live action show to the service, for example.
Awesome.
They might, coinciding with that, add a bunch of 90s era Flash runs,
comics,
like Mark Waid's Flash run from the 90s, to the service for, you know, either in perpetuity or just for a first few months, because they'll be like, oh, this will be Flash month on DC Universe. And so now there's a bunch of new Flash comics you can read and new Flash stickers you can get for iMessage or whatever. And those will either stay or rotate out. And there's going to be, like, there is some new recent stuff. I think there's a lot of, like, there's Geoff Johns' Aquaman run from the New 52, Scott Snyder's Batman run from the New 52. So those are only 5 or 6 years old. But then there's some classic stuff in there. I think there'll be a selection of classic stuff, which will probably always be there. You'll probably always be able to go in there and read Action Comics number 1 or Detective Comics number 27, you know, or whatever. All-Star Comics number 8. I'm trying to remember when Wonder Woman's first appearance was. I think it was All-Star number 8. So those will probably always be there. You'll probably always be able to go in there and read the first Superman story, but you won't necessarily always be able to go in there and read
the second Superman
Bendis's story. Current Man of Steel miniseries. Like, they might put that up for a limited time, you know, 6 months from now to let people read it, and then it might disappear again or whatever. So it's not intended to be like Marvel Unlimited, an ever-expanding back catalog of DC titles. It's meant to be more of like a sampler or a gateway to get people into characters.
Yeah, but if you can't go to the streaming service I don't know, the bucket. If you can't log into the service and use that as the one-stop shop to, like, I don't know,
Where
else are you going to get all this stuff?
The same place that you always get it, Comixology or, you know, bookstores or whatever. Like, they're not positioning it to supplant that. And in fact, if they said, here's everything DC has ever published on there, retailers and that might actually literally be in, like, violation of whatever existing agreement they have with Amazon to put their comics on Comixology. Like, there's a lot of backroom stuff that's involved
in this. Okay, yeah, so that brings me to my next question, which is, they're not pulling their stuff away from Comixology after
all? I never would have expected that they would pull it from Comixology.
I thought they would, yeah.
No, I mean, ideally, the more stuff on there, the better. But I think, ideally, what I was thinking was it might be more like Marvel Unlimited, where you can either buy comics individually on Comixology, everything, including the newest stuff the week it comes out, or you can stream, for lack of a better term, older comics, like Netflix for comics, all the older stuff, and the new stuff appears on there after like a 6-month window expires, basically. But it never really leaves the service. It's not that. It's much more curated and of the moment, but maybe it'll expand as they go on. And for all I know, maybe they're not planning on, they mentioned, I think someone used the term like a rotating selection, but if the fans don't like that, they might keep a set library and continuously add to it. But this is not meant to replace buying your weekly comics or even waiting for your new comics to appear on there after 6 months. You might end up waiting years for, say, Bendis's Man of Steel miniseries to show up on there, or if ever. It's meant to be more, like I said, a curated list of things where, oh, like, you subscribe to this and you get, it's kind of like a value add. I think most people that are signing up for this are going to be doing it for the originals and the back catalog of TV shows and movies, not as much for, like, a dozen random runs from the comics. So that'll be nice to have, but I don't think it's one of the main features. And there's also going to be community features and, you know, giveaways and exclusive videos and all the sort of stuff you might expect. But I'm looking forward to it. It's too bad. It seems like we have to wait a little longer for some of the shows. I mean, I'm not surprised that they're not launching Harley Quinn or Doom Patrol or Swamp Thing this year, because animated series take a long time, and the ones that are live action haven't even started casting, let alone filming yet, aside from Titans. Yeah. So I knew that we'd probably be looking at 2019 for those. It seems like if I had a guess, I would say going into beta in August, and then probably in the fall, launching with Titans, the back catalog of movies and TV shows, a selection of a couple hundred comics from various, you know, runs that are well regarded, some community features like, you know, message boards. So the other thing they mentioned is that there'll be like the most elaborate, detailed database of DC characters, like a wiki basically that'll be constantly added to and editable by the fans. It sounds like basically a wiki, but it will live inside this app. And so when you control the whole platform, there's a lot of cool things they could do that they may or may not do. Like you could finish watching an episode of Batman the Animated Series, and then as you finish, like in the way that Netflix will sometimes suggest, oh, do you want to watch the next episode? Instead, this could say, did you enjoy that episode? Read these comics so say you finish watching the Demon's Quest Part 1. It could say, oh, you want to read the original Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams comic where Ra's al Ghul first appeared that this was based on? Tap here, and you can be reading it instantly.
Right.
Or tap here to read about Ra's al Ghul in our, you know, in our DC database or whatever, and all within the app, it can bounce you around to these few different things. So they could do all sorts of cool integration with that that you couldn't really do. This was the dream of digital comics, you know, when Comixology first came in. I said, oh, they instead of like the little editor's boxes that you see in the corners of some panels where there's an asterisk and it says, editor's note, refer to Flash number 27 for when this happened. Like, what if that was tappable and it would take you directly to that other comic? They can't really do that with Comixology because there's no guarantee that you've bought that already.
Mm-hmm.
But if they put up, you know, 100 issues of The Flash or whatever, and you can tap on that and it'll take you straight there. What if there's like, I forget what Amazon calls it, but there's a feature where if you're watching on Amazon Prime or you're watching with like an Amazon Fire Stick, you can pause it and then the actors that are on the screen at the moment, it'll tell you who they are and where you might know them from. So imagine if there's a similar thing where you're reading a Flash comic and you bring up what would in Comixology be like the little interface where you can choose to go into guided view or go to a different page or whatever. But instead it's like, oh, on this page, you see these characters. Tap here to read this character's first appearance. Tap here to see their wiki entry or whatever. Like, you can't really do that if you don't own the whole platform. Like, Comixology wouldn't really include those features because what would they link to? Like, the Wikipedia website or like some app that they don't control? But if DC controls the whole thing and these are all just tabs within a single app, video, comics, wiki, whatever, it can bounce you back and forth. And so they could do all sorts of cool integration. So I think that's more what they're imagining the comics to be here, is just sort of a way of supplementing like an added experience for people that are enjoying the video content. And they may, you know, add to it and expand it in the future. But I think that's the sort of integration I see. So I would imagine launching this fall with Titans, maybe a sneak peek at some of the other shows, like maybe you get the first episode of Young Justice season 3, but probably I don't even know how long Titans is going to be, 10 or 12 episodes or whatever, so maybe like the first 6 episodes of Titans, a sneak peek at Young Justice, dozens of TV shows and movies, a few hundred comics, the community features, the wiki, and I don't know what they're going to price it at. I mean, pretty much all these things are like $8 to $12 a month. They might go a little lower, at least initially, like an introductory price, especially since they don't have that much original content yet at launch, just Titans, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
So they might go a little lower. Like for the first 6 months, you can get it for $6 a month or, you know, $50 a year if you sign up for the whole year or something. And then the second year it goes up. I don't know. But that's my expectation. And we'll see, you know, we'll have a lot more to say about it when it launches in beta in August, assuming that I think they probably want as many beta testers as possible. So I imagine that when I signed up for that, I pretty much guaranteed.
Yeah.
They'll get invited to the beta. I don't see why they would limit it to like 200 people or whatever, because they probably want a lot of people to slam on it just to make sure that their infrastructure holds up.
Exactly.
But yeah, so we'll have more next month to talk about with that. But
that's
really all the new details we have right now.
Cool.
Yeah. So should we move on to our comics of the week?
Ready.
Okay, so what was your comic of the week?
So this week I picked Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps issue number 47?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 47, yay. So this one made me emote out loud. It was so good. It was so fun, full of amazing moments, full of yeehaw, satisfaction-filled victories, and it was just a really, really, really wonderful issue, on top of which the art was gorgeous. It picks up from last time where...
As most comics do. In a serial medium, it's not uncommon.
I deserve that. I deserve that. It picks up from when... what's his face? Guy Gardner. Guy Gardner is about to murder his alcoholic recovery.
You got father. Angry redhead. You got floppy haired artist.
You got
crew cut marine.
Yep.
And you got wavy hair fighter pilot.
Yep. The classic fighter pilot. Yes. Yeah, so.
And giant pigman.
That's right. Big John Pigman. Wait, what?
We're talking about Kilowog. Who's Big John?
Okay, good.
Who's Big John Pigman? Who is that? Who are you referring to?
I was actually referring to Kilowog as well.
What did you call
him? Why'd you call him John, though?
You just called him. I thought you said Big John. Oh, did you say Big Jaw? What did you say? I thought you said Big John. Big John Pigman.
I heard Big John Pigman because I thought you said John.
What did you just say? What did you say?
I said Big John Pigman.
Why did you?
And then I.
Why'd you call him Big John? Where'd you get the John part from?
I thought you said John when you said Jaw. I misheard you. This is great. This is all staying in.
What is happening?
I love it so much. Okay. Yay. That's why I was confused. I was like, wait a minute. What? Okay. So, yes. All right. Short story is that this issue was awesome. It had so many great Yahoo moments, especially when Guy Gardner overcame the power of the All-Stars suit or whatever it's called. The All-Star?
It came straight from the All-Star game.
Yeah, the
National League All-Star
game. That's right.
No, the Dark Star Armor?
Dark Star Armor. They're dressed in that whole...
Or Dark Starmer, if you will.
I love it. Womp womp, but I love it. It was actually really, really interesting because only after Arkillo nearly, you know, gets beaten to death in a fight to save him, to save Guy from killing his father, which had so many that whole conversation was just so good. It was like the moment when Arkillo basically shuts the old man up from saying thank you for preserving me, you know, for saving me, but let him kill me because I deserve it. I'm a piece of scum. Like, I caused him to be in this bad way in the first place. And Arkillo says, you know, just be quiet. This is, you have to understand that this is no longer about you, you know, and that the fight was bigger. And then the moment when, the armor breaks off and Guy is saying, whoa, that was really, really deep. Like, I was really deep under, and it's revealed that it was really the power of the armor that drove him to ramp up his darkest thoughts to 11, and that he himself would never, ever actually choose to beat on his old man as much as he hates him for the past. And even the moment when they're flying away and Guy says, you know, I'll come back for a drink or a coffee or whatever. But right now I have to go because we have this important thing to report to people, that the Dark Stars are actually committing all these atrocities because they are succumbing to the darkest, darkest, darkest thoughts being ramped up to such a degree that it almost takes away their agency. And if it weren't for Arkillo and Guy's own will being strong enough, he would have murdered his father, even though he didn't want to. Even though it seemed like he wanted to, but he really didn't. Ah, it was just so good. It's so deep. I love it. I love it so much. Ah. Okay, that's why I picked it for my comic of the week.
My only nitpick as a Kyle Rayner fan is that Hal Jordan gets a cool moment where he like overcomes Hector Hammond's brainwashing and recovers his ring. John is like, is recruiting General Zod, using like his tactician's brain to recruit General Zod to their cause, yep. Even though that's not in this specific issue.
Yeah.
And Guy Gardner gets to overcome the Dark Star armor using sheer willpower and so on. And Kyle gets broken out of jail by Orion. So that's not quite the fist pump Kyle Rayner moment in there that I would look for.
But I did enjoy the cabbie moments. They're like, I'm not leaving without the old girl. And he just kind of crosses his arms. He has willpower of his own, even though he's not a ring bearer. But he's just sitting there. He's like, not without the girl, or whatever he refers to the cabbie as. Anyway, it was really awesome. I just, all those storylines were so good. And you're right, even the Kyle Rayner stuff wasn't exactly set, you know, highlighty, go Green Lantern, Kyle Rayner. But it was still entertaining, and it was still wonderful. So
yep.
That's why I picked it. What'd you pick?
So I picked Flash number 49, the penultimate part of the Flash War storyline. For all the reasons we talked about with the other parts, I'm really enjoying this. Seeing a lot of the Flash history be teased, if not brought back entirely, you know, Wally's kids and Max Mercury and Jesse Quick and Bart and all that stuff. The ultimate race between Wally and Barry in this one with so many cool moments, like when Amanda Waller and Steve Trevor try to stop them with like a
massive tank barricade.
Yeah, and they don't even break their stride by just disassembling everything in their way and continuing on in the blink of an eye. And the Justice League and the Titans and everybody else try to stop them, but fail.
Mm-hmm. Superman.
I do like. Well, yeah, Superman wasn't even in the race. I do like how Wally ultimately ended up being faster than Barry. I don't think that
just by a little.
I don't think that conclusively means that he is the faster speedster. I think it's more just in this specific case that maybe like he was more driven to win than Barry was. Mm-hmm. Like his heart was in it more. Even though, based on the continuity, I really do think that Wally should be consistently written as being faster just because of his past experiences. But then you could say that maybe he doesn't remember a lot of those now, so maybe it wouldn't necessarily still be true. Well, he doesn't remember a lot. Like, he didn't remember his kids until Hunter reminded him of them. So
I know, I'm just...
Yeah, but I'm really enjoying it still. And there's, you know, I would I have been happier if the issue ended with him succeeding and his kids coming back? Probably, but you kind of know it's not going to end that way in the second to last part. So they seemingly break the Speed Force, and it allows Zoom to get access to new forces, including the, what did he call it? There was like the Strength Force and the something else force. There was like a mental one that he used to like shut their minds down.
Yeah.
Then, of course, there's the Still Force, which was introduced in Justice League. So that's seemingly related, but that's not one of the new ones he has access to here. So it's kind of cool. We're seeming similarly to what Geoff Johns did with Green Lantern, where he's like, wait a minute, if there are Green Lanterns, what if there were other colored lanterns?
Exactly.
Like in 60 years, nobody had ever thought of that.
Yeah.
It was like, well, there's a Speed Force. What if there are other forces? And it's kind of cutesy that they all have to start with S, but whatever. That's just a way of like making it seem like a unified... You know,
right.
Mythology.
System.
Yeah. Ooh. Baby is guest starring in the episode.
Yes.
Yeah, but it was a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to number 50. I hope that we get something more of the resolution with the classic characters and Wally's memories and so on out of number 50.
Mm-hmm.
Other than just, oh, Hunter was tricking him all along and he never had any intention of helping them and the kids are still lost forever or whatever. I hope there's some forward movement on characters remembering or... characters coming back or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
What do you think, baby? He doesn't have anything to say right now. No, stay away from the microphone. So you ready for your quiz?
I am ready for my quiz.
Okay, this week I'm going to be quizzing you about Green Lantern events.
Okay.
You ready? So these are multiple choice.
Okay.
You can use the baby for help. All right, so number one. Why does Hal Jordan turn bad in Emerald Twilight?
Oh.
Okay, so there's multiple choice.
Okay.
Is it... Carol Ferris is murdered by Sinestro and stuffed in a fridge.
Oh, Jesus.
Coast City is destroyed by Mongol and Cyborg Superman. The Green Lantern Corps is destroyed by Parallax and Hal swears revenge. Or he is driven mad with grief after Barry Allen and Oliver Queen are killed.
Whoa, cool. No, I think he loses Coast City in that one.
Yes, that is correct.
Yay!
The others are not all things that happen. Well, technically the Green Lantern Corps is destroyed by Parallax, but that was a bit of a trick because that's... Hal becomes Parallax and destroys
right.
the Green Lantern Corps. So that's not why he turned bad. That's after he turned bad.
Yep.
And the Carol Ferris thing is what Major Force did to Kyle Rayner's first girlfriend, Alexandra DeWitt. Killed her and stuffed her in his fridge for him to find. Hence the term fridging a female character.
Ugh.
All right, number two. In Emerald Allies, Kyle Rayner teams up for the first time with Green Lantern Oliver Queen, Green Lantern Connor Hawk, Green Arrow Oliver Queen.
Oh, I was about to say.
Green Arrow Oliver Queen, Green Arrow Connor Hawk, Green Lantern Hal Jordan, or Green Lantern John Stewart?
One more time, what was the title? I'm sorry.
Emerald Allies.
Oh, Green Arrow.
Which one?
Oh, Oliver Queen. Sorry, baby is chewing on my finger and
no,
it's actually...
No, it's the first time he teamed up with Green Arrow Connor Hawk.
I see. Okay, so I lost. Yes.
Okay.
I was thinking of the Green Lantern story where the two greens are hanging out.
Number three.
Uh-huh.
That's what this was. That's why it's called Emerald Allies.
I see. No, I got it. It's just that I got the wrong time, I suppose.
All right.
Yeah.
Which of these does not occur in Green Lantern Rebirth? Hal Jordan comes back from the dead. Sinestro comes back from the dead. The true nature of the yellow impurity is revealed. Or the Guardians come back from the dead.
Ooh. I think No, I think Sinestro does come back from the dead. What was A again?
Hal Jordan comes back from the dead.
Okay, that's the one that I pick.
You think that was the one that did not happen in Green Lantern Rebirth?
Yes.
No, the one that did not happen is the Guardians come back from the dead. All the others happened in Green Lantern Rebirth. That was when Hal Jordan came back after years of Kyle Rayner being the last Green Lantern. And they brought Sinestro back with them, because if you're going to bring Hal back, you have to bring Sinestro back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's when Kyle used the white energy to bring him back, and then...
No, there was no white energy yet. You're getting confused. That was all way later.
Oh, I'm so confused.
That's okay. All right, number four. Which of these was not a herald of the Anti-Monitor in the Sinestro Corps War?
Okay.
Which of these characters was not one of the Anti-Monitor's heralds? Was it Superboy Prime, Parallax, Sinestro, or Atrocitus?
Oh, I know it was Atrocitus. Parallax.
No, it was Atrocitus.
Really?
Yes, all the others were heralds of the Anti-Monitor in the Sinestro Corps War. I know why you were so sure of that, since you've never read that storyline or seen any adaptations of it, but it was Atrocitus.
And the fourth, aside from those,
was Cyborg Superman. Those were the four guys.
You know, I should have just played a game of one of these things is not like the other. All right.
Okay. Well, if you were going to play that game, you would have said Superboy Prime, because all the others are core members, or of one kind or another.
Of one kind
Parallax,
of four,
a core member, is not really accurate. He's a,
he's a
manifestation of the yellow. All right. Final question.
Okay.
Which of these did happen in Blackest Night? What was the premise of the Blackest Night storyline? Was it dead heroes and villains are revived as zombies?
Ooh.
All the Lantern Corps are depowered? The Green Lanterns are wiped out and the last ring is passed to Kyle Rayner? Or all of the above?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to say all of the above.
The all of the above is enticing, but that is not correct.
Oh, man. Wait. Give me another guess. I don't care if I get the point or not, but it was the first option, wasn't it?
That'd be a good philosophy for you just in general.
I think it is my philosophy in general, but no, I think it's the first one then.
Yes, it is the first
one. That was my primary guess, and I should have just gone with it, but the whole idea of Kyle Rayner getting, I thought... Because I know he got the white power, so I thought at one point he also had...
You really should have always used the phrase white power.
Oh, wow, I should have really... Wow. No, the... Okay, the White Lantern power. How do I phrase that
was
in
actually,
a way that's
that
not...
was actually a little bit of... There was actually, like, you could tell that when the White Lantern stuff was introduced, they were, like, had to be very careful with the language so as not to avoid situations like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... Wow. That was... I never even thought of... Oh, my God. You know what I mean.
Is that going to be White the episode? Lantern is that going to be the name of this
Please.
Episode, White Power?
No.
No? Okay.
No, never.
Anyway, so what did you get? You didn't get that one or that one or so that one or that one.
I got...
Or... Yes, you got the first one about Coast City being destroyed.
And kind of the last one, because I knew I was...
Sort right. of. One and a half. One and a half out of five.
Yeah.
And that's it, because we don't have any shows this week.
That's right.
So next week, we'll probably be off, because we'll be on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week after that, if all goes well, we will have a special Megasode. Because again, not a lot of... I mean, if there's a lot of summer news, we might push the Megasode off and just do a regular news show. But because we don't have any shows, the episodes will be kind of short for the rest of the summer. So we thought we'd do a Megasode of a topic, you know, to be revealed coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to tell people where they can reach us?
Yes, absolutely. So if you want to reach out to us, we have an email address, mailbag@smartspodcast.com. Our website is www.smartspodcast.com. Our Twitter handle is @smartspodcast. And our Facebook page is facebook.com/smartspodcast. Honey, do you think I could put a plug for the movie that I'm doing? For the movie I'm releasing?
Sure.
Anybody who's Boston local, I'll put it up on our website. I'll put smartspodcast.com. I'll put a link to an Evite page, because I finished directing my first short film and I'm putting together a networking social event /screening, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be fancy. And if any smarties out there want to come.
In the Boston area.
In the Boston area.
Well, I suppose if you want to travel from Siberia or something, you can do that too. It just seems like probably wouldn't be worth it.
It's on the train stations and it's driving accessible. So yeah. Check out the link, and I hope to invite you.
I'll put
the
link in the show notes too.
Okay, awesome, thank you. So yeah, that's a quick plug.
Yeah,
do you have
good.
A funny sound for us?
No.
No? How about wah?
Yes, it seems appropriate.